The good.
The bad.
Thinking.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays to you.
Welcome to episode 89 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF, Where They Thinking. And I'll tell you what, where I am, the snow is falling. I mean, it is more than falling right now. It is.
Snow is falling.
Blazing
all
out
around
there.
Me.
It is a blizzard out there right now. The snow is falling. This is the perfect time to record a podcast while the snow is pelting its way down on my side. Shame about your side. I'll be honest, I thought it would snow more where you are than I am. I'm central London. London's going to be the last place to get snow. Always
it
feels most unlikely.
It's frosty. It was definitely frosty this morning.
It's been non-stop. I looked at the weather app and it said snow at 4 p.m. didn't happen. Snow at 5 p.m. didn't happen. And then it started coming down at 6. And since 6 p.m. it has not stopped. And it's been snowing for the last 4 hours. And it is laying as well. It is laying over here. So, perfect time to record a Christmas podcast.
Yes. I mean, December is a good time to record any Christmas podcast, to be fair.
It is. And this is actually our last Christmas solo episode before we do a big list next week. So,
yeah.
Which is kind of a shame. I thought we'd have more Christmas episodes. But that is the way the...
Well, we got three. I mean, three is a lot.
Three is a lot. But before we move on to the main event, you have a little something.
We're in awards season, so any time to mention awards is perfect time. And the one that's been released thus far is the AFI Awards, which is the American Film Association. They normally list the 10 best movies of the year. They're always American productions, so there is a special award for The Banshees of Inisherin because it doesn't qualify. A lot of times the non-American movies don't qualify for the AFIs. Mm. So I just wanted to go through the top 10 for you.
Go for it.
See what you think. So these are in alphabetical order. So we have Avatar, The Way of Water, Elvis, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, ooh, The Fabelmans, mm, Nope, ooh, She Said,
ooh,
Tar, Top Gun Maverick, The Woman King, and Women Talking. So those are the top 10.
Those are the top 10, and the special is The Banshees of Inisherin.
The Banshees of Inisherin.
It's hard to say a lot because Avatar is not out until Friday. Elvis I haven't seen. Everything Everywhere All at Once is a brilliant movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about that movie is it really divides opinion. Some people hate it because it's so ludicrous and bonkers, but once you accept what you're watching, you can enjoy it. The Fabelmans I've not seen. Nope, I loved. She Said I've not seen. Tar is not out until January. Top Gun Maverick I've still not seen. And The Woman King and Women Talking I've not seen either. So I can only comment on about two of those movies.
Nope is at the moment picking up a lot of steam.
I'm glad.
I'm surprised though. It doesn't feel like an awardsy movie.
I love that movie, and I was very big on it at the time as well. So I am incredibly happy about that. Because I think you put it like it's his third best movie, which it could potentially be his best movie in terms of awards and stuff.
I think
has the potential.
I think it's his best looking movie in terms of like the direction he's going in. This was his most Spielberg looking kind of movie. Mm. It felt like there was a lot more, you know, this was a more technically gifted movie. I think Get Out and Us are the better written movies. I like their structure a little bit better, but I think Nope is the more intriguing movie in terms of spectacle and scope and you know, all the technical stuff, artistic stuff. that happens in it. Well, I can't say Get Out and Us have that, but this one has it in spades.
It does. It does. I am very intrigued to see Tar. I think you were talking about it last week.
Heard a lot of good things.
I've seen loads of good things about that as well. So that is a movie I'd love to watch. Top Gun Maverick. I almost watched it, actually. Almost watch it. I'll explain the situation. I've just come back from Prague. And in the hotel room, they had, on the TV, they had free movies that you could watch. They had loads of movies on there. Started watching Top Gun Maverick. That was the first film that we selected because you're like, we've never seen it. Let's put it on. Perfect time to watch it. And it was just a laggy mess. It just kept freezing. And we were like, no, we can't watch this. So we watched three other movies we watched. I'll tell you what they are. Ingrid Goes West. Have you ever heard of that movie?
Want to see it. I've never seen it yet.
It's good. Surprised me. It's a good movie. And then we watched Yesterday. So I watched that again. Second time we watched that. It was all right the second time. It felt more ridiculous the second time. And then I watched The Lighthouse, which is also on there.
Great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a very
great movie.
Atmospheric movie. Very enjoyable. But yeah, wanted to watch Top Gun Maverick, still not been able to watch it. I will watch it at some point in my life, I hope.
Well, I mean, we've got the best movies of 2000, movies in general of 2022.
I feel like I need to watch it before we do that podcast.
I think you need to kind of get in there. I've been watching a few movies. I try to pick up a lot of 2022 movies at the moment, so I watched a couple over the weekend. I watched the Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which is now on Netflix.
I had really good things.
Intriguing. When we were watching it, I remembered the story and just remembered how ridiculous the original 1940s Walt Disney movie is. For example, remember Pinocchio gets drunk and he smokes cigars and turns into a donkey? That's a pretty weird thing when you say it in a sentence.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. I don't remember that, but did that happen? Did that actually
happen? The 1930s version, it did happen.
Oh, yeah, that is a bit mad. No, I don't remember that.
But we've had a lot of Pinocchio movies lately. You know, we had two this year. You know, we got the Disney one, and then we got the Netflix one. And then 3 years before, we had an Italian one. It's like we've had a lot of Pinocchio.
I smell
Pinocchio. We're Pinocchio'd out.
I smell a Pinocchio ranked podcast coming soon. That's what I smell.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see a Pinocchio. The best Pinocchio and the worst Pinocchio. I think we all know what the best one was, and I think we all know what the worst one is as well.
Yeah.
So it's the ones in between.
It's the ones in between. For debate, yeah. Which is always the way of every ranked podcast ever anyway, isn't it?
That's very true. It's very true. I liked it. I thought it was very dark. It was very dark.
It's good.
And it didn't go the way I expected it to go.
Okay.
So, yeah, I recommend it. It's a good movie. Could win Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. I haven't seen the other movies, so I can't really tell if it's the best, but
bloody hell.
It's a very good movie. And the other one I watched, which is completely polar opposite to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, was Jackass Forever. I finally got around to watching that.
That was good. That's fun. That's a fun movie.
I liked it. It's it reminds me of when we used to watch this shit on a Friday night on MTV.
It
brings
days.
Back good memories.
It does.
I didn't mind the new cast either.
Yeah, no,
I was surprised how receptive I was of them.
I think anyone that throws themselves headfirst into the experience, especially the way that all of them three did, they kind of brought a new lease of life to it. I think with the original Jackass cast, they're at a particular age where it's like certain stunts, it's not going to look as good or it's not going to be as good with them in it anymore. So having the new
say
blood,
that, but I mean, the stunts that they did do were fucking mad
considering
the age they were. I mean, Johnny Knoxville and the ball, for example, is absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
For a man hitting his 50s.
But so, I feel like you need some new blood in there to take kind of the strain off of the OGs who have been doing it for a long time. I love that movie. I really love that movie. It'll be a shame to do our top movies of 2022 and not include a few movies that haven't come out yet for us. But obviously people will have to bear that in mind when they're listening to that episode. It is UK. If you've seen it in the UK, it could be in the list. If it's not out in the UK, it can't.
What? We'll talk about the movies that we want to see.
Yeah.
we'll talk about the movies that we want to see as well of the year. Yeah. Because, as you know, the other thing that happens in life is that life happens. You went to Prague.
I did.
Like, you didn't have time to see movies. It happens in life.
I did.
Sometimes you don't have the time, the money, or you do other things. You know, there's a whole world out there sometimes.
There is a whole world.
We have to explore it.
There is a whole world out there. There is indeed. Do we have any other little bits and bobs before we get into the main event?
Not really.
No, really. Okay. Let's do it. Let's jump straight in.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holiday to you.
This week, it was my selection, my Christmas movie, and we only get one each to select, and I decided to go for A Christmas Tale in French, which is Un Conte de Noël, which is a 2008 French comedy-drama film by Arnaud Desplechin. Can't pronounce his name, sorry. Let me just give you a brief summary of this movie. The troubled Villiard family is no stranger to illness, grief, and banishment. But when their matriarch requires a bone marrow transplant, the estranged clan reunites just in time for Christmas. This was a surprising movie because I selected it on a bit of a whim, I'll be honest. I'd never heard of this movie before. I don't know if you'd heard of this movie before.
No.
No. I selected it, and after watching it, I am incredibly impressed by what I saw. How did you feel?
I felt incredibly bored.
Really?
For a lot of it, actually. Surprisingly.
Wow.
I like the movie, but my God, does this movie drag on
really? And
sometimes feel a little bit like a chore to watch. It was a bit of a chore.
Oh, we are on the wrong page for this episode already. I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like this was really perfectly paced in the sense that everything was kind of covered nicely. I don't feel like anything was rushed. I felt like we really got an insight into the family.
I think that was the problem.
I don't think that was a problem. I think that was a good thing. I actually enjoyed the pacing of this movie completely. I enjoyed the atmosphere that this movie created. I enjoyed the emotions this movie created. It wasn't a dire movie, despite the story being about the mother learning that she basically has leukemia. And she needs to find her match for the transplant. And there's only two people that are a match in this family. And they are probably the most troubled characters in the movie, initially, until you learn about every other character and you start to feel that actually everybody is pretty troubled.
Like many families, there are just so many skeletons in the closet.
Exactly. And they kind of unleash quite a few in this. I felt it was actually really Christmassy as well. I didn't know how Christmassy it would feel, but there was a real Christmas feeling about this movie as well, despite the fact that when it came out, it initially came out in May in 2008, which I always find weird when a movie's called A Christmas Tale comes out in May.
Yeah, who's watching it? That's strange.
I mean, the box office matched the budget, 6.3 million. So I guess, you know, they went even, so they probably made a bit more afterwards. But yeah, no, I'm surprised by your reaction there. I actually thought you'd really enjoy this because, you know, this felt like a Mike Lee movie, but like a French Mike Lee movie is what I felt when I was watching it. Quite raw. No, I thought it was quite raw, quite real, quite realistic. There wasn't anything too ridiculous going on.
It's a movie that wanted to be a Mike Lee movie, but it just doesn't have the Mike Lee stamp of approval, in my opinion. It's a chore to watch this movie, and I know when I start to watch the clock, I know that I'm struggling with it. I don't think the performances. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think the performances are bad. I just think it drags itself off. There's a few things that I'm not such a big fan of.
Go on.
I don't like the little fourth wall monologues. They feel really? So out of place. Yeah, I didn't like them.
I quite liked it. Because it came quite randomly as well. It kind of catches you off guard. You don't really know when they're coming at all. So I quite liked that. I really liked the performance of Jean-Paul Rosalind, which is Abel. And this was actually his final performance as well before he passed away of lung cancer. So I imagine this one probably quite
and
close.
He won a Caesar Award.
He did as well. And this one's probably quite close to his heart, I guess, in the sense that he was suffering with that for a couple of years. And he died like the following year after this movie came out. So that was probably quite close to his heart in that sense. Everyone's performance
is great. I had no problems with the performances. I think Mafia Amarek is really good. I mean, this was the same year that he also played the Bond villain. So this was a good year for him.
Yeah, really good year.
And Elizabeth Dilardis and Consigne's character, she was very good. She's very subtle, but there's a lot of evilness behind her. Catherine Deneuve is obviously a French legend. I thought everyone played their part right. I just feel like this could have been better if it was like a TV show. I just felt there was a lot crammed in, and after a while I was like, Jesus, we are dragging this one out a little bit. Do you know what's strange, though? This would be a perfect companion piece for another movie that we watched last year, Happy New Year, Colin Burstead. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I felt this. I definitely had that same feeling with watching this movie, the same sort of family getting together and things kind of coming out of the closet and, you know, being dug up and stuff. I definitely had that same feeling as well. And I love that movie too, and you love that movie, so...
Exactly, because it's the better version of this movie. It isn't... That is more of a Mike Lee movie. It's not as long, and it feels like there's real turmoil. It feels like there's real... The story moves at a good pace, and it works well. I just felt that this one didn't need to be 2.5 hours. It really didn't. I think that is his biggest problem. It was longer than it needed to be, and that kind of affected it.
I feel like I disagree. I thought 2.5 hours was quite a nice length for everything we needed to cover. There was a lot of family members, and they didn't leave certain members of the family untold. You know what I mean? There was enough time spent on each story that it didn't feel like it was not enough, and it didn't feel like it was too much. No, I don't think it felt like it was too much. It was actually bits that could have been explored more. There could have been flashbacks for certain moments.
How long would you have made this movie then if we added more?
That's what I mean. If there could have been, but I think 2.5 hours is about right. But I enjoyed it all the way through. Don't feel like it dragged in the slightest. But this is my sort of movie, I think.
I thought this would be my kind of movie, but I do also know when my kind of movie doesn't hit its marks.
Yeah.
It didn't hit its marks for me. Like I said, I don't think this is a bad movie. But I can't. If you said to me, would you recommend it to put on the slate of movies to watch Christmas? I'll tell you that I probably will never see this movie again. I liked it. I would never watch it again. I don't think I'd learn anything more from this movie if I watched it again.
I mean, I don't think that's an insult to the movie anyway. I think.
No, it's not an insult. It's just, you know, the first time you watch a movie is for curiosity or to see what it's like. The second time you watch it, is to revisit it to see either you really like it or you need to revisit it because you want to understand it. And I feel like neither. I feel like I didn't enjoy it that much to revisit it, and I'm not curious enough to go back into the well. I'm like, that's fine. You're like, you did your part. I see you in the corner of the room. Like, I'll nod at you, but I'm not going to go up and say hello.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper as to why you don't enjoy this movie. Let's start from the beginning. I mean, I would agree with you in the sense of the first hour of the movie is piecing a lot together. It does take a little bit of time to get to it, but I think once we hit Christmas Eve, I think the movie is very enjoyable from Christmas Eve onwards. I don't think there's a bad scene. I don't think anything is overrun. I don't think anything is underrun. I think from Christmas Eve it's perfect. I think it does build it up quite nicely before that. I'm not against the first hour of the movie, but the second hour and a half is definitely the stronger when everything's unfolded. And a lot of things happen that I would say kind of catch you off guard as well. Especially when we're referring to Ivan, Simon, and Sylvia. That sort of triangle catches you off guard with the way it unfolds.
It does, but also catches us off guard where, like, there's no repercussions, there's nothing that really happens after everything's done, which makes it seem a bit pointless. Like, there's no turmoil there. And I do have a problem with that. I think that's a bit weird.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, if your wife sleeps with another guy, you're not just going to nod
brother.
In the morning. A cousin.
Cousin, that brother, yeah. Cousin.
You're not just going to nod and, like, be okay with it. And she's also okay that her kids have walked in when she's in bed with another guy. I mean, this is very strange. This is very strange sort of behavior. But there's no turmoil. There's no, like, this is a family that's meant to be against each other. And then every time that there is arguments, it seems to blow over so quickly. I didn't really understand it. Happy New Year, Colin Burstyn, right? Think of, like, when Neil Maskin and Sam Riley's characters, they are heated. They're staying away from each other. And you can really feel the tension that these people can't be in the same room with each other. There's so much tension and conflict that could happen. And you feel it. You feel like everything's going to go wrong. The Christmas Tale, I was waiting for those moments and they never turned up.
But it is a little bit different. It is a little bit different with this one. I think the family's a little bit more, I mean, it's probably more realistic for the particular family for them to all be together. I would say if there was a family that were too, there was too much turmoil involved that everyone knew about, but they wouldn't get together in this occasion. So it felt kind of new that all of the family were always getting together. It was just the one person who was banished. That changes the whole dynamic.
And you never really found out why.
You never really found out why, but you kind of did in a way. I mean, we saw the initial scene, didn't we? She paid off his debts and then said, I'll pay it off if we never see him again, sort of thing. And I think his behaviour that we see on screen and any scene that we see him involved, we kind of get a feeling of why. You know, he is a troubled man. He is a compulsive liar and probably a bad influence on the people around him. And she was also really depressed, wasn't she? Which we kind of learned towards the end of the movie that she is depressed. And so probably does play a big part into why she used that situation to get him banished from the family. It was all her, wasn't it? But also the mother. She kind of had the influence of the mother. The mother was quite open about how she didn't like Henry either. And he was open about why he thought that he could potentially not be her son. He said it to Paul, didn't he, when they were on their, like, Christmas Day run sort of thing. So I think there's, like, it's like nice, it's like subtle family drama, which feels a bit more realistic. Whereas Happy New Year, Colin Burstyn, if we're going to compare the two, is a little bit more out there in the sense that why are they all together if they all fucking hate each other? Do you know what I mean? There is no real reason.
Because that's what families are like.
That is what families are like. But if it's that thingy, I mean, we're in a family. If it's that toxic, it just doesn't happen. I think there are ways to avoid it. Whereas in this situation,
it was only toxic because of one character coming back, being invited to come back.
Yeah.
And it's the same. That's why these two movies are quite parallel. It's the same that there's this one character that's been invited back, but people don't really want him to be back. And in one, there's tension, and the other, there just feels like it never builds to a tense scene. It feels like I'm always waiting for something to happen, something to spark off, and it never sparks.
Yeah. I think there's a reason, though, as to why they're all back together, more so than Happy New Year, Colin Burstead.
Yeah, but not a reason to drag it out for 2.5 hours.
I thought it was good. I thought it was well-paced. I'm surprised you got bored. Maybe you watched it on the wrong day. When did you watch it? What's going on?
I watched it on the Thursday. I struggled with the movie. I did struggle with the movie. It was a long chore.
I loved it, personally.
And I like long movies, so I know it's not the length of the movie. It's the way the story stretched. And I just felt that there was a lot of scenes that amounted to nothing.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I felt by the end of the movie. I was like, seen it, cool. Do your little monologue at the end, checked out, bye. And that's pretty much how my brain went. I was like, yeah, I can't see this being... this is a highly acclaimed movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those critic highly acclaimed movies where like the critics are like picking things out, but I don't really know if anyone else is really thinking that this... Who watches this movie? Who's watching this movie at Christmas?
French people?
I think there's other better French movies.
It could be, but I like this movie. I really like this movie. I enjoyed it front to back. Really enjoyed it. So I am one of those people who is watching this movie and enjoying it.
You'll see it next year then, won't you?
Oh, I could see it next year. Who knows? Who knows? I've had to watch 25 shit movies. Preparation for next
week. Is that why? Maybe you like it more because you watch 25 shit movies.
There is potential, you know? There is potential. You have 10 rotten hamburgers and you go to McDonald's and you're like, this is actually really nice. There is potential for that to be the reason. But I actually really like this movie as a standalone. And I've watched it quite recently. It's quite fresh in my mind. I watched it this weekend because I've just come back from Prague, so I haven't had a chance to watch it until this weekend.
Is this before or after England lost? Yeah.
See what your mood was at. After. No, I watched it after. Yeah. I watched it after. And England lost to the French. So really, I should be holding some sort of hatred towards this movie. Naturally, I should be like, this movie's the worst movie ever made.
to the referee, I don't know what nationality he was from, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't French.
Let's not find out what nationality the referee was. Oh, he might have been Brazilian. He was Brazilian.
So we won't be doing a Brazilian Christmas movie.
We won't be doing a Brazilian Christmas movie, no. I watched the French movie immediately after England got knocked out by the French in the quarterfinals. But that didn't play a part.
What's your feeling towards French movies? I mean, I don't know what you like. The actors, for example, obviously I watch a lot of French movies.
Do you?
I do. I think it's probably the third most watched nation, like after obviously the Americans and the Brits. I always watch a lot of French movies. I'm a big fan of French cinema. And obviously the actors, are there any familiar actors? Because obviously you've got some legends here. Are there any familiar actors or actors that you would like to see more of their work?
One of my favourite actresses was in Inglourious Bastards, Melanie Laurent. I thought she was brilliant in that.
In this movie.
Oh, in this movie, sorry.
I thought you were just talking about French. And I mean, in this movie, in because this is an ensemble piece, so there's a lot of actors here that are in a lot of French movies. You have some strong actors here.
Mathieu, who played Thierry Henry. Mm-hmm. He played Henry. I'd like to see more of his work, definitely. More French cinema. Catherine Deneuve as well. Would like to see more of her work. There's probably a lot. I thought every actor was good in this movie, so it was like it's hard to really pick someone out individually, but maybe Henry Mathieu. Probably be his more than anyone else. He was the most intriguing actor.
He's also probably the most transatlantic. I mean, Catherine Deneuve did do some American movies. I think Mathieu's probably done the most. Especially around this time, he was an actor that was quite well known. I mean, the year before this, he was in The Diver, Bell and the Butterfly, where he played a man who had a stroke. So throughout the whole of the movie, you just hear a narration of him and him blinking because he's basically he cannot communicate. All he can communicate is by blinking. And so that was like a very acclaimed movie. And then obviously he went to become a Bond villain in Quantum of Solace, and he was in this. So this was kind of like around this time. This was when he was probably, at his most biggest, probably internationally. I wouldn't know in French cinema, like maybe he was always big or not, but definitely he was more internationally known around this period of time.
Definitely. It's probably him. But I'd love to explore more sort of cinema around Christmas internationally, because it was always interesting to see different traditions play out on screen.
Was it last year when we did the top 50? We had Tokyo Godfathers. That was an interesting one.
That was a good one.
Jouex Noël, which is a French movie, Christmas movie. And there were like a handful of others. But yeah, there's a lot that are not widely known. It would be nice to tick some of them off. I feel like we've been doing a lot of Christmas movies, obviously with the bad movies that we've been reviewing as well, or we're going to review. I feel like I've watched nearly every fucking Christmas movie ever made. At least, like, American movies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bad ones.
My God, there's a hell of a lot of bad ones.
There's almost too many bad ones, and we'll probably get into that more next week, of course. We don't want to delve too much into what we're doing next week, but we will be reviewing the top. You keep telling me off for saying top 25. The 25 worst Christmas movies. So basically, 50 shit Christmas movies, because we may not have the same list. so it could turn into a top 50.
I think we'll have a lot. I think maybe 30, 40. I don't think there'll be 50.
We'll see. We'll see.
You went completely rogue and like went completely off script and did the Hallmark movies, I think we'll be fine.
No, I couldn't bear the Hallmark movies, so
I only watched two.
Spoiler alert, they're all the fucking same. They are in a category of their own. And that is where I'll leave it.
That's a ranking list that I think we would never ever do.
No.
I watched two of them and I said to you I would do three. And after the second one, I said, I'm not doing a third one. two is enough. And two is, I just went, I can't.
More than enough. Okay, yeah, two is more than enough. But back to this movie. So, in theory, right, because you're not a fan by the sounds of it.
I liked it. It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just you said, is this going to be in the canon? And I don't think it would for me.
This wouldn't be in your Christmas canon.
No.
Is canon the official word? I did see someone else use that on Twitter. Canon's the official word?
I don't know. I thought it was like canon. Maybe
it is. Maybe it is.
The canon of movies.
Yeah. It probably is the official word. I would call it rotation. But canon, all right, canon, we'll use canon. Would this be in my canon?
I would put it in a canon and shoot it up into the sky.
Nah, come on. It's better than that. Would this be in my canon? It probably wouldn't be in my canon, if I'm being completely honest, but I did love the movie. But it's not got the mood. I mean, for example, today I've watched Paddington again. I love that movie. And I've watched a new movie.
Well, that's a movie.
I watched a new movie on Amazon, which I was hoping, because it was brand new, I was hoping, oh, this could be in my top 25. This could be an addition to it. And it wasn't that bad.
What, worst 25?
Worst 25.
Is this it's not the one with Thingy, is it? The one from Sex Education.
It is. Your Christmas or Mine. I watched it and I was like, it's not bad enough to be in the top 25. it was okay. So yeah, that's not made it. I was kind of hoping it would make it. I was hoping it would be bad because it was a new one as well. I thought, oh, brilliant, this can throw a new movie in the list. It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
I've been lucky. Like every movie I've watched that I thought it's gonna be this one. Even if I was like, on the cusp thinking maybe I'll like it, I get into it and I go, yeah, no, I didn't like it. Like, there's not many
But there's movies you don't like, and then there's worst. All right. So even if you don't like a movie, sometimes it's like, I didn't like it, but I could see other people liking it, so therefore it doesn't make the worst list because it's not as bad as some of the other shite out there. So it's tough. It's a tough list to do.
It is, but it's also personal preferences. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it.
True.
And there's a lot I didn't like.
Fair. Where are we putting it?
Are we talking in terms of good, bad, what the fuck,
we'll say good, bad, what the fuck.
I mean, it's not bad, so it's got to go in the good.
It's got to be in the good.
But it's not a great movie. It's a good movie. Like, the performances are good.
Mm.
There's individual moments that are good. It's just too long, and there's certain bits I'd definitely cut out of it.
No, fair enough. I'm saying good, loved it. Magnificent. That's what I'd say. I liked it a lot, actually. Magnificent. Why am I saying magnificent? Why is my mouth so dry? I can't say the word I'm trying to say.
Stick your head out. Let me try that again. Put some snow on your lips.
Magnificent. Well, I can't say it. I'm just fucking embarrassing. I can't even say it.
Fucking magnificent.
I need to see it. Oh, I don't fucking know anymore. I don't even know. I apologize for that.
Just put it in the bad category.
That goes in bad now, you know.
Yeah.
Bloody French.
It's bad. He can't say a word. It's bad.
Bloody French. All right. Let's move on to
it. Happy holiday while the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
Still snowing. Still snowing. I didn't actually have a part two of this podcast. So we can just talk.
So what did you say? Go to part two.
We can just chat.
Oh, okay.
Just chat for a bit. And preview next week, which we kind of did in the last bit, because I felt like you didn't have a lot to say about that movie. So I think you, it was a Christmas tale, but you seemed to have fell asleep.
Well, this is where you had to fight for it and say more about it.
I didn't do a good job.
Not my fault, that's your fault.
That is my fault. Anyway, next week, top 25 worst Christmas movies. And you know what? Christmas is coming around fast. And the problem with doing this list is I haven't had the time to watch some of the Christmas movies that I actually love. And I know that I love. I'd like to just, you know.
Yeah, but we watched them last year.
I know, but I like to watch them again. And I haven't really had the time to. Today I dedicated Paddington. I gave Paddington an afternoon slot today because I woke up, it was foggy, so I don't want to go out. I want to stay in. But Paddington, I like that Paddington. It's not even a Christmas movie, but there's something about it that feels a bit Christmassy.
Where do you think Paddington sits for you? Because, I mean, this is something, Paddington and Paddington 2, where do they sit for you in terms of their legacy? Because I feel like these two movies, this franchise, if you will, I think it could be up there with the best family movies in like 10 to 20 years. I really think they're that good.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Because it's enjoyable. Non-stop. You can watch it a couple of times and you love it. He's a very lovable character, Paddington. Very, very lovable. It's kind of stupid as well. Keeps you entertained. There's nothing about it which isn't good, and
there's no malice towards it, is it? It's very soft,
very enjoyable. Yeah, it's just, and it's a simple story, but it's a nice story. Yeah, it's one of those movies where I'd never seen it, and I saw the reviews it's got, and it was so high, and I was just like, it can't be that good. And then I watched it, and I was like, I can see why everyone has fallen in love with this stupid bear. What a lovable, stupid bear. That's a brilliant movie. It's heartwarming. It's brilliant. And it kind of comes, it's a nice circle as well of the beginning to the end, the way everyone's, you know, changes their thoughts and feelings towards Paddington. Everyone loves Paddington at the end of the movie, like the audience. Do you know what I mean? It's impossible not to love him.
It's like the better version of Beethoven, isn't it?
Yeah, and to be fair, it's such an iconic story, such an iconic children's story, such an iconic book by Michael Bond. And I think they did it justice. And I feel like it's good. It feels good that they did it justice as well, because it could have easily been a pile of shite, couldn't it? It goes one or two ways, these movies, but this was brilliant. And Paddington 2, just as good as well.
I think Paddington 2 is the better one, actually.
Yeah.
I think that I like that one. I think this is a superior one. It feels a lot more like a Wes Anderson movie. I think Hugh Grant is brilliant in it. I think he's a great villain. I just think it's better. I think, like, for it to top Paddington is impressive, because Paddington's a really good movie. Mm. And then Paddington 2 is a really good movie and some more.
It is, and has a nice little cast in it as well. The cast of the sequel, lovely. Brendan Gleeson, impossible not to love. Actually, I'll tell you what movie, speaking of Brendan Gleeson, I'm going to change the subject slightly here. I finally got around to watching a brilliant Brendan Gleeson movie. Can you guess what it is?
He's been in so many.
Let's just say a brilliant Brendan Gleeson movie. What comes to your head?
In Bruges.
No, come on. I've never Cavalry? Seen it before. No, but I do need to see that. It's the next one. It's close.
The Guard?
The Guard. I saw The Guard. I don't know why I never watched it before. I downloaded it.
I'm surprised. That is your kind of movie. That's got your name written all over it.
Brilliant, isn't it? What a fucking movie that is. So good. I can't believe it took me this long to watch it. I'll tell you what, the McDonough brothers are brilliant, aren't they? They just can't. They don't miss, do they?
I don't know. I've never seen War on Everyone, and I've heard War on Everyone is not a very good movie.
They might miss that one. We'll miss that one out. But they've made two bangers there, haven't they? Well, he had The Guard and Cavalry, which I've not seen, which I will see. But yeah, the Guard, I fucking loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it was one of those movies I watched. I've been like, how the hell have I never seen this movie before? That kind of annoyed me. You know, when you see a movie really late and you love it, and you're kind of at the end of it, you're a slightly bit annoyed because you're like, fuck's sake, this would have been up there as one of my favorite movies ever. Give it a couple of years, this could crack my top 10. That's how much I loved that movie.
I'm trying to think what I saw this week, which was new. I'll tell you one movie I saw on. I saw two movies on Mubi that I really liked this week while I stayed at the hotel, which was haunted. I stayed at a hotel when I had some lucid dreams about ghosts and stuff, and apparently the place is haunted. So yeah,
we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that after therapy. I watched two movies on Mubi. One was called Taxi Tehran, which was a fascinating movie directed by, let me just find his name before I butcher it, so I can look at his name and butcher it. Jaffer Pahani. This is an Iranian movie. What I like about this movie is that he's banned in Iran for 20 years of making movies. They've banned him. So he's found ways to tell movies while he's banned. And this was a way he did it, where he's basically in a taxi filming actors just portraying in this movie, and he's the taxi driver. And they're just talking about life in Iran and all sorts of stuff like that. It's absolutely incredible. It's such a good movie. For a movie of such a basic premise. And I like the idea of a guy that's just like, oh, you don't want to make movies? Fuck you. I'm going to keep making movies regardless of what you say. And he's been like this ever since he's banned. He's been still making movies. He's still getting movies out there. And I mean, hats off there. That is pure devotion. And Texas Haram, it was incredible. It's honestly a movie I recommend to anybody.
Fair play, man. Fair play.
And the other movie I watched is Gonzo. It's absolutely batshit crazy. And it's from a batshit crazy director, Ken Russell, who bamboozles me that Ken Russell went into Big Brother. Like, a British filmmaker auteur was in Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother. It's called Crimes of Passion, the movie from 1984, which stars Kathleen Turner as a businesswoman who at night is a prostitute. And my God, this stars... what's his name? It's left my mind. Anthony Perkins. And he is absolutely insane in this movie. I mean, if you thought he played Norman Bates insane, you need to see him in this. He's like Norman Bates at 11. I mean, he's that crazy. And this movie is like off the wall 80s. Like gonzo, batshit crazy, everything's like weird, and it's amazing. It's an amazing mess. And I watched this and I was like, yeah, this could be one of my favorite movies. this could easily, like, if I watch this, keep watching this for the next 10 years, I think this could accelerate on my list. It's really intriguing.
What was it called again?
Crimes of Passion.
Crimes of Passion. Yeah, I've heard of this. Yeah, I've heard of this movie. I've never seen it. Never seen it. Ken Russell, was he in Big Brother?
He was. He left it very early on. I think he left after a week. I don't know why he went in it. He was an old man when he went into it. It's strange.
Oh, yeah, he fucking did as well. Yeah, I do remember him in it. That is utterly bizarre. That doesn't seem real.
This is a guy who's got such a great resume. But I mean... Like in the late 60s, early 70s, he was making great movies. And then like in the 80s and 90s, he was just making movies like Crimes of Passion, which are like, they're movies that are like, you either love them or hate them. They're not movies for everybody, and they're not box office draws. But I mean, Crimes of Passion is a movie that everyone should watch.
Put it on the list. I will put it on the list.
Get movie, man. Get movie. Movie is... And the other movie that's come on movie recently is a movie that you'd like, which I haven't seen yet, Decision to Leave, which is the Park Chan-wook new movie, the director of Old Boy, which could be nominated for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars. That has now been released on movie. I believe After Sun will come on movie at some point as well. So
there you go. Movie's the one.
Movie's the one, man.
Movie's the one. Right? Where's that come from? I've got too many streaming services. Give me your login. I'll watch a movie.
I gave you something better than that last Christmas, but you did not take it.
I gave you
a voucher which gives you Movie for 60 days for free.
Is that better?
Well, you get it for 60 days for free. I mean, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. All right, well, there you go. That's what we've watched this week. Quite a lot. I feel like we've watched quite a lot this week.
And in sprinkled in between good movies, I've been watching crappy Christmas movies.
And there's a lot of them.
It's hard. It's like after you watch like some really crappy movie, insert the name. I'm not going to say the name, but it normally has Christmas in the title. I need to watch a good movie.
Yeah.
For my sanity.
I felt like that as well. I've really been.
I mean, I was doing Christmas wrapping yesterday. I got all the Christmas presents all done, so I was wrapping some Christmas presents to a crap movie. Now, normally, I wrap Christmas presents and like It's a Wonderful Life is on the background, but now I've got a shit movie that I'm like, you know, I need to like wrap some presents because this movie is killing my brain cells, and I just need to I need to like just look up now and then and just like tut it and then just go back to doing the Christmas wrapping.
Yeah, that is the issue with shit movies, is you're purposely watching them. And
you
it's
just check
harder.
Out.
It's harder when you know they're shit. It really is.
It's harder. I don't know what's worse, when they're shit or when they're just boring. I can't tell which is the worst. When they're just like middle of the line, mediocre.
Boring's at least definitely worse.
As if they're shit, there's something to kind of like your eyes like look up there. But if you go like, oh, you saw this movie, what's it about? It's like, I don't really know. I checked out because it was just so mediocre that I had nothing good to say about it. So I added
and
to the list.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. right, there you go.
Only one more week left of it, and then we don't have to do it anymore.
Then we don't have to do it anymore. And we can do a couple more interesting movies. End of the year. There's good positive stuff.
There's one thing also we should check out. Did you see the photo I sent on the group chat thing about the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles IPA? I've been looking for this. I've been trying to buy this all week.
I sent you a link.
Yeah, but you can't get it. You can't get it in this country. It's
in
only
the
in America.
UK, yeah, it's only in America. Yeah. I did find it, though, in America.
This is a call out to any American listeners or anyone from around the world. If you could find a Between Two Pillows IPA, that's what we want. let us know about it and we'll try and get it here. I mean, we need to. It's probably going to taste terrible, but I mean, I did not know that there was a world here in the whole wide world that there was actually Planes, Trains, and Automobiles beer. And it's strange because, like, growing up, I thought like we were the only ones that knew about this movie. I thought it was like a little cult thing between me, you, and Dad. And we found out that there are people that make beer that like this movie too. I don't know many movies that have a beer. I just let you know that as well.
Is it a cult movie? I feel like it's a brilliant movie, and a lot of people know about it.
I don't mean that. Cult means that like more. Was it a big movie or was it that a cult like cherished? I don't know. I mean, when we watched it, it was before like the internet, wasn't it?
Do you want to hear something that will piss you off?
Go for it.
I just clicked on the Wikipedia page of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and there is a section that says remake, right?
Oh, I think I heard about this, yeah.
In August 2020, a remake was reported in development. Can you guess the two actors
as the leads? Didn't they try and do a remake, which was called Due Date, and that was terrible? So, why do they need to make a remake of it?
This is a direct remake. Can you guess the two actors?
Was this with Cameron Diaz? Am I right here? Or is this something completely different?
Nope.
Okay. Is it two? Chris Pratt. He's linked to every fucking thing. So I'm going to say Chris Pratt and Tom Holland because it isn't them two, but it'd be funny if it was.
No, those two weren't initially reported. Back to your Cameron Diaz thing. I've just looked at a news story that says Drew Barrymore wants to remake Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Drew Barrymore.
With Cameron Diaz.
That's it. That's where I saw that somewhere on IndieWire recently.
It was Drew Barrymore talking on her talk show. But before then, there was two actors linked to the role, and the two actors were Will Smith and Kevin Hart.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I mean, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. That movie was perfect, hilarious. Can't replace John Candy, for starters, in any movie that he's ever been in. You cannot replace his character. Full stop. And Steve Martin, perfect companion for John Candy in that movie.
Let's just also remember this. Comedy remakes. Can you name...
Don't work.
Can you name any that are good?
Don't work. It's like retelling someone else's joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
I can't think of any
that's
good.
It's less funny.
Maybe the only one I could give maybe up there is Bedazzled, the one with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley. That was pretty good. But apart from that, I can't really think of any.
And I think that's the way it should be. Just there shouldn't be any more. Should there be any more? I don't think so.
I can't think of any more.
I don't think so. I don't think they should. I think that movie should be well left alone. It's just stupid. Just trying to be too Hollywood as well. Two actors who are very Hollywood there. They weren't even like, let's try and get two actors who we know would be great for this role. They were like, just get two famous people. Put them together. Whenever you pick Kevin Hart, you are picking a movie that you're like, we want to make some money. Because Kevin Hart, no disrespect to Kevin Hart, he's not great.
I can't remember the last time I saw a good Kevin Hart movie.
It's been a long time. I feel like he had his moment. And I think that was kind of it.
I thought you were going to say Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart a little bit, so I was surprised there.
It's normally those two, isn't it? It's normally those two. They went Will Smith. They went Will Smith for this one.
Who would you cast if you could pick the two? Like, if someone put a gun to your head and said two actors?
The problem with me is I'd want to pick two actors who were almost too similar to the original one. That would be even worse. So I'm trying to think of someone who's similar to John Candy in that role. Jonah Hill.
I'd go Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
I think Danny McBride would be a good one. Yeah.
I don't think he's as like John Candy's character is quite innocent, annoying. Well, so he has no idea how annoying he is.
I'd switch it Danny so McBride, he knew exactly how annoying he was. Yeah.
It'd be a different movie. Danny McBride is very aware of how annoying he can be in movies. Maybe Jonah Hill, who I'd go for, but not now. I wouldn't pick him now. I would have picked him like maybe 5, 6, 10 years ago, maybe, but not now. So I don't
Steve
know.
Martin. For that.
Steve Martin. I'd pick him again. Yeah, put Steve Martin in there again.
Just Steve Martin again.
Just have him again. But that's it. That's a fantastic movie. Anyway, let's wrap it up. Next week, 25 worst Christmas movies. It's going to be one of those episodes where
see
we
how
nothing.
Brilliant that sounded rolling off your tongue there. 25 worst Christmas movies.
25 worst
then
Christmas
top 25 movies. Worst Christmas movies.
Ah,
I said it right the first time.
Yeah, and a bit of bullet.
Perfect.
I let it happen. So next week's episode, we are going to be saying no nice things about any movies. So we'll catch you then.
It's going to be interesting when we rank them, right? Because I don't think there's going to be much of a fight. It's like, they're all shit.
Like, mind shitter. Mind shitter. It's going to be a weird argument. Next week. See you.
He's got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.
When he's coming down the chimney down.
He'll have a big fat pack upon his back and lots of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. It's the holiday season.
The holiday season.
So hoop-dee-doo and dickery-dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock, 'cause just exactly at 12 o'clock he'll be coming.